This podcast may contain adult language, adult situations, spoilers, and some brief nudity, so parental guidance is adjusted.
We have such sights to show you.
After about 5 minutes of this movie, you're gonna wish you had 10 beers.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Oh, well. La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la, yeah.
Welcome back to the Cinema Recall Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast. I am, of course, the Vern. Thank you very much for joining us. So, this episode, I am joined by my good friend, Kaylee, from Once Over with Kaylee, and her and I talk about the 1986 cult classic, Howard the Duck. Now, if you're a Patreon user, again, patreon.com/cinemarecallpod, you are getting this episode way ahead of anyone else, so that's very cool. Thank you very much for all your support. Greatly appreciate that. You're also going to be getting on Patreon and on YouTube a different version of sorts because we had some technical issues at the start of the show, and I totally forgot to read the comments that people left for us when I wanted to. So in this audio version, I fixed it so that the comments are read after we talk about the movie, but on the YouTube, they're left for later. Kaylee's on the show when I read the comments here and there, but it's just going to be slightly edited differently. But I'm going to get on with the show right now. I am going to play a quick ad spot from another great podcast show, and we're going to do one from Movie Drone. Mark and Steve have a very cool movie podcast. I love their movie quotes games. I love their dynamics they have with each other. So we're going to get to that ad spot right away. I should let you all know, too, that I was a recent guest on the Reels of Justice podcast. I was brought back to court to defend the latest Indiana Jones adventure, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. So go to Reels of Justice and check out that episode, all right? Besides that court case, you can also find me on the Reels of Justice podcast defending Howard the Duck as well, so be sure to check out that episode. And without further ado, let's get on to the ad spot from the Movie Drone podcast. Don't forget to listen to us every Sunday on Full Swap Radio on their Vanilla Sunday program. Again, fullswapradio.com. And I love you all very much. Take care. Goodbye.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Have time for another podcast and enjoy listening to two idiots discussing films? Then look no further.
We are Movie Drone Podcast, two mates sitting down to discuss new releases, nostalgic films, and anything and everything in between.
He's Steve.
And he's Mark.
Together we answer listener questions and set each other homework, giving each other a film to watch that the other hasn't seen, in the hope of unearthing hidden gems.
You can download us on iTunes, Podbean, as well as Google search us to find us on loads of different platforms.
Or email moviedronepodcast@hotmail.com. I think that's all.
No chance, mate.
Huh?
You've forgotten everyone's favourite feature. Mark's movie impressions.
Oh, I'd hope you've forgotten it too, to be honest.
No chance of that, mate. You think you should do one.
I hate you.
Come on, mate. Show them what you got.
Hey, no bomb. Hey, no bomb. Yo, Adrian!
And if that hasn't put you off, give us a try. There's a small chance you won't regret it.
Everybody, welcome to this latest episode of Cinema Recall Podcast. I am the Vern. With me is Kaylee from Once Over with Kaylee. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
You clicked on the link. We are talking today. we're talking today about Howard the Duck. I'm holding my DVD here, and I rewatched your episode.
Yeah.
To, you know, get us up familiar with the duck. Oh, and I gotta show you this, Kelly. This is really cool. Check this out. I feel like I should do the whole 2001 Space Odyssey thing.
Oh my goodness. Ah, it's amazing.
Yes, folks. I am totally decked out in duck gear for sure. Yes. Howard the Duck, 1986 movie, directed and directed by Gloria Katz and Willard Huck, written by Gloria Katz and Willard Huck, produced by George Lucas, starring the ever wonderful Leah Thompson and Tim Robbins, and yeah, that's it really. We're definitely going to get more into Howard the Duck. But before we do that, folks, I want to just thank everyone for listening to Cinema Recall on YouTube or Spotify or Podchaser, Good Pods. We're also available on Newsly. Newsly is an all-in-one audio app for your iOS and Android phone. It puts the most trending articles on the web and reads them to you in a natural human voice. For the first time ever, the entire web becomes listenable. Stop scrolling. Start listening. Go to newsly.me, use the promo code RECALL, get 1 month free of their premium service. We're also available on Full Swap Radio's Vanilla Sunday. Full Swap Radio is a kink and fetish podcast network. How we got involved, I really don't know, but I'll thank my good friend Nikki from Dear Nikki, who got us hooked up with their Sunday night programming. So very cool. So thank you to all the folks at Full Swap Radio for having us on their weekly podcast network for Vanilla Sunday. So, Kaylee.
Yes.
My good friend.
Yes.
We do a part of the show called Rage Corner, where we rage out about anything going on in movies. And you can rage happily or madly about anything in the movies at all. Like, could be like someone talking in movies, or you saw a really good TV.
I am raging this week about O.J. Simpson dying, which means that we officially will never get Towering Inferno 2, and I would really like to see more Towering Inferno movies, so I am very sad about that.
That's okay. Well, with AI, they could just use
it's
him.
It's true. I mean, it's true. And the AI version of O.J. would probably be a little bit less controversial, so.
I like that. I agree with that.
What are you raging about this week?
My Rage Corner, Rage Corner brought to you by our fine gents at the Film Rage Podcast. Check them out. They're great supporters of us. My Rage Corner is not that much of a rage, really, but I did go see Civil War, the new Alex Garland feature.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it was the very first A24 feature that was, like, big. It was filmed for IMAX. It was a wide-release movie. And it's good, but not great.
Really?
I liked Ex Machina more. I like Annihilation more. It's for me better than Men. And I know that's a movie that had a little split views here and there. I know what he's trying to do, because he has the movie's main characters be photojournalists that don't pick a side of what's going on. And I think that's kind of a smart thing to do. But there really is no message to the movie except that war is bad. And it feels like when watching it, I feel like I'm watching a movie from two different directors. There's a director that wants to make the movie very exciting and show all these like really cool battle sequences with guns and actions and everything's intense. And then it goes to these really like somber shots that's supposed to tell me that war is bad. And it felt like I was watching a combination of Michael Bay meets Terrence Malick. And there'd be some great action sequences going on, and then a lot of slow motion stuff. Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie from Terrence Malick, that war movie he did? And I'm just like, Thin Red Line, The Thin Red Line. Have you seen that?
Yeah. It's similar to that in that sense. I'm excited to see it. Your review is making me a little bit less excited to see it, but I'll let you know what I think.
if you see it any place, see it in IMAX, because those, like, the first, like, 10 minutes are great. The last 10 minutes are absolutely great. And there's some, like, really great intense sequences that happen throughout the movie. The cast is good. Kirsten Dunst is good. Kaylee Spaney, who I just saw recently in Priscilla, that Sofia Coppola movie from last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's in that. And she's, like, almost unrecognizable. But, yeah, her and Kirsten.
Cool. Well, I'm still, I'll go see it in the IMAX for sure.
Hell yeah. All right. So if you're watching this on the YouTube, we're going to go right into our discussion about Howard the Duck. I am going to play a quick ad spot from Howard the Duck, all right? Here we go.
Yeah.
He's like many of us, mired in the routine of upward mobility. But all that is about to change with an unexpected trip to a place called Cleveland. A romance with a girl named Beverly.
He's my boyfriend!
Radical. And an adventure beyond the imagination of the average duck.
The duck's a lunatic!
George Lucas presents Howard the Duck, a Willard Hike film, a Gloria Katz production, rated PG. Now at select theaters, check newspapers.
So, I'll ask you this, Kaylee. Where were you when you first saw Howard the Duck?
Oh, man. I don't know that I watched it before I reviewed it 2 years ago on my channel. So I know I had seen lots of parts of it, but I don't think that I had ever, like, sat down and watched the whole thing through until 2 years ago. And it is long.
you think the movie's long?
I do.
Okay.
But it was such a jarring experience. So I guess a better question almost is, when was the first time that I saw the character of Howard the Duck?
Yes.
And that is, I was probably pretty young. It was probably around the time when I was into, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I saw this character and I was like, that is a fun looking character and I want to see those things. But I just never actually got into it.
You know, it seems like Howard the Duck would be a character from that turtle show. It just seems like he would just fit perfectly
into that universe. There. Yeah.
And I always figured that Howard the Duck would be working with April O'Neil for stories or whatnot. Like, almost like, he almost seems like he could be her boss, like, putting together new stories and everything. That's why I try to picture Howard the Duck to be.
I think that makes a ton of sense. He definitely has that business mind.
Yeah, you know. And plus, in the movie, too, he wanted to be a rock star, but then got into construction. And now he's doing advertisement. That's his main job right now before he meets Beverly. So, yeah, for me, now, I am a young kid, all right? This movie came out in, like, 1986.
Yep.
So I am 9 years old, all right? And during this time, I'm watching a lot of, like, Looney Tunes, all right? Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, they are, like, my heroes growing up. And so when I see these commercials about this wisecracking, talking duck that seems very cool and hip and likes to drink and smoke cigars and he's a ladies' man, you know, has all these different types of, like, women duck everywhere, I'm thinking, all right, this guy is kind of like my idol and my hero. Because as a young kid, we do kind of look up to those type of characters. So
the character,
when watching the movie and he's making one-liners, he knows Quack Foo. And this also is after I've seen Leah Thompson in Back to the Future, because I remember seeing that in the movies and having a huge romantic crush on Leah Thompson.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Her in this movie, this is a part of me that where I get to be like, this is my first time being aroused.
Your duck feathers went like this.
My duck feathers did, yeah, because I'm like, she's that one sequence where she's in bed and she's bending over. I'm like, oh,
she's that's very, very suggestive in this movie.
Oh, extremely suggestive. And as a 9 year old boy, you're thinking, okay. It was that movie and then also Gina Davis in Transylvania 65,000 that my dad took me to. So it was like I was like going through puberty from watching these two movies, and one of them involved a girl basically flirting and about to have sex with a duck. All right, that's where Which is a strange thing to have happened to, like, a child in the 80s, you know? We have to, like, get our set scenes from, like, women with ducks and, I don't know, it's just bizarre type of thing.
Lucky you. What a weird coming of age story.
People would say I should go to therapy for that, all right? I don't know. But yeah, and I remember watching this movie a whole bunch of times since I saw it in theaters, and I remember the movie being rented, and I watched it a bunch of times. Then there were little like picture books of Howard the Duck, like these like cassette tapes and picture books that you can read along to.
Yeah.
There were little Howard the Duck keychains, and I remember buying the soundtrack and really loving all the songs in that soundtrack. And I will get more into the soundtrack later on as we get into this movie, because I think the songs that were made from Thomas Dolby and George Clinton, yes, Parliament's Funkadelic with George Clinton, and She Blinded Me with Science, Thomas Dolby, collaborated on the soundtrack for this, and I thought that was absolutely great. But, and I know, folks, I'm not going to go into like much deep dive. Like, we're not going to discuss like scene by scene analysis of this movie. But we'll talk about a few things. And let's just talk real briefly about the opening sequences in Duck World, because, and I want to get your thoughts about this too. I think the animatronics were astounding of this, even today.
Yes, absolutely. I think that the attention to detail is nuts in Duck World. We get so much world building. The animatronics are amazing. The wire work is amazing. It is just, it's really, really impressive. And not having seen this movie in full when I was younger and only really seeing it in more modern day, I'm shocked at how good it looks. Everybody made so much fun of the costuming and, you know, the duck suit and how everything looked, but I think it looks great.
Oh, and you have to imagine too that each of the, because it's a, the head is an animatronic head, and all the eyebrows and the facial expressions are all done remotely. And it looks very natural.
It's very articulated.
Yeah. You can totally tell Howard's moods very well. And they seem to like gradually grow. It's not just, I'm happy and then I'm sad. Yeah. They're like, it's all these nuances that the faces make. And I know that originally they wanted this to be an animated movie, but the studio insisted that they make this live action.
Yeah.
And I think that was just so much better, because if it was just animated, it would lose something.
Yeah. But you know, when I rewatched it for this review, for talking with you today, I had originally felt like I would have preferred it to be an animated movie. But now going back and watching it, I am really, really pleased that it was live action. I think it turned out really well. And again, I think it melds, you know, Duck World and Howard with being a part of the real world so successfully, that world building wouldn't be as effective in animation. So I think it's really great getting to see the real characters combined with, you know, the animatronic duck head.
Oh, 100%. The only thing I wish would happen is I wish we spent just a little bit more time in Duck World.
I agree.
I know that would cost a lot of money, and they only had a $37 million budget to make this work. So that wouldn't work out too well. But just I love the fact too. Now, I kind of wish, because I know that Howard the Duck is kind of a noirish comic book style of it, and I really wish they would have gone the Chinatown route a little bit and just have the opening credits, because that beautiful score by John Barry opens up.
Yeah,
John Barry, who did a lot of the music for Bond films. It would have been great just to have like the opening titles of Chinatown with just the images, and have it look like an old school noir with all the cast members up front and all the production designs. You know how like old movies were done back in the day?
Yeah.
Where they put all the credits up at front and it'd be kind of like black and white, and just showing that first. And then you bring the Howard in, and it almost seemed like it should be like a film noir with like Howard the Duck narrating, like it would be a film noir, and him like checking messages.
I think that would have been a really cool idea.
Just like him checking messages and him talking about how the girl that he loved got away, him playing messages from his mom and these girls he's dating while showing images of the house. I think it's kind of cool too that they show like all the stuff in Howard's apartment with his movie posters and the Roland age and everything. And they don't really show Howard at first. They kind of let him be somewhat of a mystery.
Yeah, we get to see, I think we first get to see the photographs of the Duck family. I think that's the first time that we were. And of course, we're getting to see, like you said, all of the different movie posters. And so we know that it is a Duck world. And then the final reveal of actually getting to see him is really exciting. Because again, I think that the design is so perfect.
And Howard the Duck has always been kind of like, and you've done research on the comic. You've done probably more research on the comic than I have before. So Howard the Duck, he's always been this sort of like, he's not as wisecracking as he is in the movie, but he likes to smoke.
Yes.
He likes to drink.
Yeah.
Is he a womanizer as well in the comic book?
He seems to be a little bit more, a bad guy is the wrong way to describe it, but he's definitely a little bit on the fringe of, you know, what a traditional good guy is.
Like anti-hero, right? Is he anti-hero?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So are you saying that like both him and Snake Plissken?
Yeah,
could be
they
friends.
Exist in the same universe for sure.
Really? Oh, that's sweet. Okay, that's slick.
I haven't read too many of the comic books though. So when I reviewed this 2 years ago, I tried to buy a couple of comic books in order to educate myself about them because I had never read the comics either. But of course, the two issues of the comic book that I bought happened to have Howard in a coma for both of those issues. No. So I actually got to see very little of his behavior. But since then, I've read a couple more issues. And yeah, he's definitely a little bit more of a... He's like a bad boy duck a little bit.
I didn't see right away why the laser are going to be drawn into that sort of like bad boy mentality, you know? Plus, he's in a rock band, all right?
Yes.
Howard and the Heartbreakers. I'm not quite sure if he's a rock band in the comics or not, but he seems to be the type of guy that would be in a sort of a Huey Lewis in the News type of like cover band, Howard the Heartbreakers.
Based on his outfits, yes.
Yeah, you know, good things right there. In the movie, all I need to tell you about the plot is that there is a laser that comes and brings Howard from Duck World into our world. He lands in Cleveland, doesn't know what's happening. We then get a sequence of him trying to escape all these like glam rockers and punk world. And I've got to say, Cherry Bomb, I wish that was a real band.
Yeah, you would listen to them?
I would totally listen to Cherry Bomb. In fact, I got to do this real quickly though. I'm just going to play just one moment. This is probably my favorite song from the soundtrack, all right? I had to play that one clip.
It's a good song.
That is probably one of my favorite songs from that soundtrack. And when that opening scene comes on and Howard's trying to escape everything that's happening, they're trying to throw him from this club to that club. He lands on the, what are they called? The Psycho Sluts.
Yeah.
Bike team. All right.
Yep.
Just to have them in this movie is just bizarre and surreal.
It's so weird.
I even mentioned about when Howard gets sucked out, there's duck tits happening, all right? So there's just very just crazy things happening in this movie that it's very difficult for me to explain in a podcast. But I want to play that quick clip just because I love that soundtrack so much. And if this was a real band, goddammit, I would go see this.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that they actually had Leah Thompson and Holly Robinson, all the band members learned to play their role instruments. And that's awesome. Thea Thompson singing that song.
That's amazing. I did not know that.
So I wish that they would make, if I swear to God, if Howard the Duck was a success, the Cherry Bombs could have gone on tour.
Yeah.
And just done shit, and just would have been just absolutely amazing. And I would absolutely love that.
I also want to talk just about in this opening scene when Howard is first seeing Cherry Bomb. It reminds me a lot of another movie that I know that both you and I have recently talked about, which is After Hours. It is very much all the punk rockers, and like you have the like the chain link fence is inside protecting the band. And it just feels very much like that After Hours sort of feel where there's so much chaos happening in this scene.
So are you saying that both After Hours and this movie are somewhat linked together?
I think they might be. I think that Howard... Wait, what year did After Hours come out? 82?
85.
85. Okay, so After Hours came out the year before Howard the Duck.
And both movies deal with someone going out of their world to another world to some sort of a nightmare escape.
Interesting.
They both involve the meeting a woman and things happening with them that weren't expected.
And so, the scenery is important in both movies. So After Hours obviously heavily features New York City. Cleveland is featured a huge amount in Howard the Duck for some reason. They really want to push that Cleveland.
I imagine too that they probably got a good deal to shoot in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the residents of Cleveland and the mayor is like, oh shit, we're going to get the new George Lucas movie here. They're going to shoot the new George Lucas production here in Cleveland. This is going to be exciting because this is 86, so this is years after Return of the Jedi, and that did a lot of big blockbuster. So sure, they're like, Cleveland, yes. Cleveland's like, fuck yes, George, please come to us. Shoot your duck movie. I don't care what it is, all right? And they're hoping that this movie would be a huge success, and it wasn't.
Nope.
I'll get into the critical and what we call it, commercial reaction to this later on. All right. So he meets Beverly, Lea Thompson, struggling singer-songwriter of Cherry Bomb, and she's living in this pretty awesome apartment. Even though she says, it's a cheap thing, and my manager's a scumbag, but it lets me stay here. I'm like, I would love to have a place like that. That place was huge.
It was beautiful. That's a good point. It's like on Friends when, like, how do they afford their apartments? How does she afford that apartment?
And she's like, I'm so poor. Like, I've been in poor apartments before. Yeah. It's nothing like that.
It's not right? Like that.
No, that place is a gorgeous place to live.
Yeah.
So while there, Howard is being, tired because, hey, traveling across galaxies, going into space without a spacesuit and surviving is pretty cool. But I'm guessing that tube that... We call it that laser tube.
Yeah, the vortex thing. Yeah.
The vortex thing had air in there, so it was fine. But after all of him trying to run around everywhere and him having to fight off two rapists, that's right. In a PG-rated movie, there is an attempted rape scene happening here, folks, okay? So he fights off the rapist, goes back with Beverly, and he falls asleep after he does finally the duck purse. And I like the fact, too, when Beverly is trying to talk to Howard, she's not quite sure how to react. She's like, I could put milk in a bowl for you, because she still sees him as, like, a duck. And it wasn't until she mentioned about, he wants a beer. So she says, okay, I'll give you a beer. And he passes out, looks through his wallet, has the Bloomin' Ducks card, Master Duck, all the duck bills, and then she finds a duck condom, which that's not a duck condom at all. I mean, I know what duck penises are like. They're like corkscrew, and
it's not accurate, dang it.
That's not accurate condom at all. It's just like a little condom, and I I don't know for sure what they were trying for with this one. I know there's a lot of like risque things going on, and I'll get to those scenes later on as we discuss this movie. But I'll ask you about some of the racy stuff in this, because
it's definitely weird, because again, you would think that Howard would very much be marketed towards kids, but it can't be marketed towards kids because already, you know, at this point, what we've discussed, we're like maybe 20, 30 minutes into the movie, and we've already had duck boobs. We've had the condom. We had Play Duck magazine. We have, you know, there's, and then Leah is, or Beverly, rather, Leah as Beverly, is getting quite close to being naked. There's a very erotic scene. You know, there, so it's very peculiar. I don't really understand. As an adult, I like it, and it's funny that we get to see all of these things. You know, the duck tits is probably like one of the most memorable things from this movie. But I don't know that it really has a place for that level of eroticism, especially when you have characters as goofy as Phil, who we will meet in a little while.
Yeah, it has this like weird balance, and I totally agree with you too, Kaylee, that it's not quite sure where it wants to be. And this is even after the PG-13 rating has been established. It's 1986. We've had the PG-13 rating for a while now. And I think if this movie wanted to be more of that close to R-rated territory, it should have gone for this. But it's George Lucas, and I'm sure he wanted to have like a big blockbuster feature, so he wanted to make it PG. And I'm grateful I had very cool parents that allowed me to see this movie in theaters when I did, because nowadays I don't think that would have happened at all. So I'm very thankful for that. So after Howard does wake up, he goes to see Beverly's best friend, who is the scientist played by Tim Robbins. This very eccentric, wild, goofy character who looks at Howard as it's like the greatest discovery ever. And Tim Robbins plays this role in very spastic actions and very over-the-top type of deals, making bad duck noises to him and everything like that. He wants to find a feather of Howard to see if it matches this other thing there at the time. I'm going off right now on how to explain the plot line of this, but essentially he's a scientist that wants to help out Howard, but still this weird games. The oddest thing at all I can say about Tim Robbins' character is that
It's mind-boggling.
Which is freaking weird, all right? Because they broke up, and she even says to Beverly, like, I don't know who's more hard up for sex, me or him.
Yeah.
All right? And there's even a line, too, when they're, like, backstage, and he comes in, and he tells her, sorry, honey, I've got no time for sex right now. I gotta work. And it's like, how did these two hook up? That's, I mean, forget about Beverly and Howard hooking up, all right? I get that. They have a similar likes and dislikes and chemistry. Those two, all right?
Nothing the same. The cherry totally bomb lady right.
And the scientist dude. I don't get that at all. That's just one of the weird things ever. Talk to me all you want to about how weird it is for Beverly to hook up with the duck, all right? That made sense. This other thing doesn't make sense at all. So
They are. I don't think that you could possibly have two more different personalities than Phil as the scientist and the girl from Cherry Bomb.
Yeah, they're
not a match made in heaven.
Very weird. So after things go bad in the science lab between Beverly, Howard, and Phil the scientist, Howard gets upset and leaves, and him and Beverly have this fight. And what I love the most about this is that Leah Thompson is so good that she makes this scene so believable between her and this animatronic duck fighting. Like, I totally buy into her character so much.
Yeah, like, I completely agree. She's outstanding in that scene, and that scene would not have worked at all if she wasn't so great. She's just, you really truly believe that they are having an argument You know, Howard is feeling like an outcast. He's feeling like a freak. And his response to that is to push her away. And you can see both her frustration with that and her sorrow with that. And yeah. That's a hard sell. And she does it.
Even when, and I'm going back to even the earlier scene when they first meet, and after he saved her life, she like walks away and she just sees the dark, you know, shiver and cold. And the Ed Gale, who did, you know, the performance of Howard's in the suit, and Chip Zion's voice of Howard, and you see Leah Thompson's face being sad as he does walk away. And she's like, no, I want to help this guy out. I want to become friends with him. And then that sequence later on where they're having the fight outside the park and these kids come up to see, it's so life, these like this class of kids and his teacher, you know, like tug at him to see if he's a real dark or not. Yeah. Gets frustrated with them.
They think that he's an exhibit.
Yeah, exactly. So Howard gets upset. He runs off. He gets a job at it's a sex spa, right?
I have in my notes, sex place, question mark, question mark, question mark. I think it's a bathhouse. So there's like hot tubs. I think it's called Hot Tub Fever is what the place is called.
I gotta go back to what you said earlier, because he's at an unemployment office.
Yeah.
Finding a job, right? This unemployment office, first job they find for Howard is a sex spa. Because he's a duck and he knows about water.
Yeah.
Is that the only reason why? There's no other duck jobs you can get. There's no other pools in the town of Cleveland.
It's so weird. And not only that, she's like, I have the perfect job for you. Like, she's like really selling it. Like, this is going to be the best place for you to work ever. But of course, we learn while he is working there that he does not know how to swim. So I guess that's why she probably did not suggest lifeguard jobs or something more logical.
That could be. Just works at this set spa, and which is a weird thing too to have in a sort of a PG-rated movie.
Yeah.
To have all these people like randomly like kissing and hooking up and set sounds going on, and there's even like this weird, like kind of like 80s sexy porn little chart music going on.
Yeah.
I imagine that a lot of people who rent this movie in the 80s, if they didn't shut it off after the duck tits,
this was the scene.
This would maybe be the other scene where, because the duck tits are like, oh, okay, it's the 80s. They had you know, breasts going on in movies back then. But it's this sequence, parents are going, what the hell did we just rent here? I'm pretty sure it said PG on here. Honey, it says PG, right? Yeah, it's PG. Okay. All right, let's go on with this more. And then I got to get to the sequence that causes a lot of people to have issues with it. And it is the sequence with Howard back in Beverly's apartment. Because after the set spa didn't work out, he quit that job. He goes back to find Beverly because it's the only person that he knows in Earth, the only friend he has. And so they go back to her place and he's on the keyboard, you know, doing that little introduction to Howard the Duck theme song. All right. He's grooving
shaking
out. Shaking his butt. And Beverly comes out and he's like, she starts laughing. And maybe she's checking out Howard's butt a little bit. I don't know. I'm not going to kink shame anyone at all right now, but checking him out. And then she crawls into bed. It's got that shot of her ass. All right.
Yep, it sure does. She's
bending over it there. And my mind's going, oh, wow. That'll, okay. Very nice. Gets into bed and she invites him into the bed. And she keeps saying that, I wish I could find someone, you know, she's trying to find a boyfriend, talk about all the loser guys she's dated. And I think Howard has a line there. You know, have you thought about trying things? You know, maybe it's not a man you're looking for.
Yeah.
And she goes, like, do you think I would find love in the animal kingdom?
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know, baby. We could give it a try. And she just says, okay, Mr. Duck, let's try this. Now, tell me if I'm wrong on this, Keely, But I think that she's just trying to call his bluff because he's acting very macho and very seductive with her. And she's just like, okay, guy, I want to see how real you actually are with this. I'm going to call your bluff on this and see if you're going to go through with this or not. That, people are saying that she does want to fuck the duck. I don't think she actually does want to fuck the duck, at least not at this moment. I think maybe after the movie's done, she does. But I think at this moment, she's just playing around with him a little bit. I don't know. Tell me if I'm right or wrong on that.
Okay, so at this point, he has already fought off people trying to accost her twice. Because yes, we have in the very beginning when she's leaving the show. Mm-hmm. And then we also have already seen, I think at this point, the Howard fights off her manager because her manager is taking advantage of her. Yes. And Cherry Bomb. And he is insinuating that he is going to make her do sexual acts in order to get ahead in the world.
Yes.
So Howard has done a couple of really, really nice things for Beverly at this point. And I always felt like this is sort of when she was starting to fall for him. Now she sees him both as like a masculine guy who can protect her, mm-hmm, which she seems to want. Yep. And also she sees him as cute and playful and talented because now she knows that he's good at playing the piano. He's got a cute little duck butt, you know. I think that this is when she starts to fall for him. So I don't know that she like was ready to, you know, do all the banging, but yeah. I think she was getting close to being ready for it.
Okay, because she's like trying to like play around with him, like you're just so cute and cuddly, and that's yeah, where his feather rises. Yep. And you know, he's like I'm so, because when he's like confident with her, he's like very bold and strong. But yes, when she starts doing the seduction, he becomes very scared because he's never actually had that happen before.
He's always intimidated. Been the one to,
yeah, he's always been the one to, you know, start everything happening. And now that it's happening to him, he doesn't know exactly how to react. And he becomes yeah, very much a scared little boy. And I found that to be great. It's funny. It's definitely an erotic scene. And kudos to Leah Thompson for pulling it off and making it very sexy and erotic, because it's a scene with an animatronic duck, your folks, all right? And it's just something that should not work at all, but it works wonderfully well.
It's really amazing. And, you know, I was just thinking about something as you were talking about this. So many people gave Shape of Water shit for just being a movie about fucking a fish. Yeah. Did people give Howard the Duck shit about it being a movie about Beverly trying to fuck a duck? Like, I don't ever remember that sort of commentary happening about this movie.
Nowadays, yes, all right. A lot of people have talked about, but
okay,
she never actually has sex with Howard.
Yeah, it's true.
She never actually has sex with him, all right? They have, like, a kiss, and yeah, she flirts with him, but they don't actually fuck. In Shape of Water, they fuck, all right?
All right, you're right.
So, yeah, but then they get interrupted by all the scientists in the area with Phil and Jeffrey Jones, the character, fought that actor, but he's in this movie. But they find a way for Howard to get back to his home planet. Things go wrong when they do so because the laser brings down the Dark Overlord, which possesses Jeffrey Jones' character, Dr. Jennings, right?
Yes. Yep.
Dr. Jennings. And they escape from the cops very easily. These are the most dumbest cops ever in movies, which I think is brilliantly great. I don't want to talk too much about the sequence because it's, unless you have thoughts to say about it, but they get away from the cops.
The only thing I was going to say about it is it's just crazy to me. Okay, so Beverly hardly knows Howard at this point, and she mm-hmm. is just willing to hold a cop at gunpoint for him. I mean, she is really risking a lot for this little ducky, as she likes to call him, you know?
You know why? Because he's the manager of her band. He's the guy that's got the money. Now. He's got the money for the band, all right?
You're right.
So she wants to stay with this duck because this duck is my meal ticket, all right? Yep. If any guy messes with me, he knows how to beat them up. He knows yep. how to get money, all right? I owe a lot to this duck right here. So, yeah, of course she's going to hold the gun at cops and save this little duck's life. So, they get out, and they're driving with Jennings, and he's acting very strangely, and I never quite understood why they did not know that he's being possessed. I guess they don't know this guy. They just think he's acting weird or whatnot. They go to this restaurant, which is like a Texas sushi restaurant, this hybrid Japanese sushi chili place. I have no idea what's going on here.
But it looks like a diner, and I think it's called Sushi Cajun. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's like a barbecue sushi place.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever want to eat there.
No. I would not trust any food from that place.
Is this like a thing? And this is like a Midwest. I mean, this is Cleveland too, so it's not the place you think about when you have sushi. Because the look of the place looks very much like a Denny's or a Big Boy's, one of those like family type of restaurants and whatnot. So they get there, and the waitress says, "Hey, that's a cute kid's costume." And I remember in your review about this, that they say, hey, this duck was a kid, and says cute duck costume, but then Beverly says, we'll have 3 beers, and she says she thinks nothing about that at all.
Immediately. Nobody knows what to think about Howard. Again, Howard is very much an outcast in Cleveland, and so sometimes people think that he's an animal. I think also in the diner sequence, they say that he is a pet, and they say no pets allowed. So, you know, nobody knows what to think about him, but they have no qualms with treating him like an adult at all times.
And that's worth it, too. Even throughout this movie, there are sequences where people are afraid of Howard the Duck and see him as like this weird thing, because it's shocking to see an anthropomorphic duck that talks like a human and whatnot. So there are some sequences where people are afraid of the duck, but then there are some sequences like the sequence when Howard is at the unemployment office and working at set shows and other places that no one bats an eye that it's a duck. Speaking of the sequence when Howard is trying to get the money back from Cherry's Bomb's manager.
Yeah.
No one really bats an eye that there's a duck sitting at a bar, smoking a cigarette, and drinking.
They all believe him when he's like, if I bite you, you'll have, what is it, space cooties? I don't remember what.
Space rabies.
Yes, yeah, space rabies. They all know that he's weird because they believe that he might have space rabies. So it's so bizarre. It's inconsistent, I guess, is a good way to describe it.
It is. And I don't know what it, but maybe that's the way we would look at something like this, because some people would just see a talking duck and be like, a talking duck. All right. I know I would. I'd be a little like, oh, is that a talking duck? Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. That's fair enough. And other people are going to be like, oh my gosh, a talking duck. That's so weird and strange. And I'm going to sort of like make this analogy of how certain people react to the like trans community and all communities. People look at other people strangely and they get weirded out and scared. And other people just would not be that scared at all. And I know that's a bad analogy to compare people from the trans community to a duck and whatnot, but I'm just trying to explain how when people see things that are like, you know, not what they're used to seeing, they're going to be freaked out and scared. Instead of just talking to someone, they're going to get scared and run the other way. And you can do that with people seeing, you know, different races and other orientations and whatnot. People with piercings sometimes, you know. Yeah. I know that you sometimes, Kaylee, you had different color hair at some point there too.
Oh, I'm absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, people look at that differently. I've got friends of mine who are big into like the goth scene. So they have like all the piercings and hair a different color. They get different looks when they go to places. And then they don't get looks at all in other places. So it just, I think it has to do with that maybe.
I think that's a really interesting analogy. And I think that, you know, when you think about it that way, Beverly really represents acceptance in this film. because mm-hmm. she really, there's not a time where she looks at Howard as a moneymaker or a freak or mm-hmm. something that is different than her. She just sees him as being, you know, having a similar character to her, as being as his heart is the same as hers, I guess. Exactly. And that's really sweet.
Yeah, even when they're both at her place and they're discussing their dreams and how Howard wanted to be a rock star, but it wasn't making any money, so he had to do these other jobs that he didn't want to do. And she tells him, well, maybe you're here for a purpose. Maybe you're here yeah. for some sort of like cosmic bee reason of why you're here. And maybe there's just a reason why we both are meeting our client together and us doing these things. So I found that to be very, very cool. But going back now to the diner, sorry, folks, going back and forth here. So we're at the diner, and the residents get pissed off at Howard, and they're going to cut him up. They take the key card that Janice needs to activate the laser, and Beverly says, they got your key card. Janice just, he doesn't kill. Does he kill people? There's no killing going on.
But he does a lot of exploding pots and pans.
Scares everyone out. They all leave. He kidnaps Beverly because she's the main character. He drives off with her. Howard now has to get to where Beverly is. So him and Philip team up. They get a helicopter. We did 25 minutes of really bad chase sequences where
yep.
they can't fly all the way up. They have to just keep on the road so that the cop cars can chase after him. And I feel like they're trying to do the whole Blues Brothers chase sequence, but now we've got a duck and a helicopter. They finally get to where the place is. There's a lot of great creature effects, especially with Janin's having that tentacle come out.
Yeah.
His mouth and suck the energy. I thought that was great. Yeah. I will say this, the very end sequences where Howard is at the factory, the fact that they have a fucking truck that has like this laser on there to blow up the laser, whatever. There's a big giant laser happening where the Dark Overlord wants to bring down more of his friends to destroy the Earth. And I guess they have to possess Beverly. I don't know why they do. I don't get that. Help me out here, Keely. They actually use this.
So at some point he says, when they're in the truck together and he's kidnapped Beverly, he says, I can't have more of my minions, I forget what he calls them, calm down. They need a human to be a part of. And that implication, it's almost as if he's saying he's going to impregnate her as opposed to saying that he's going to try to bring his friends down from the laser. I think that that is not well thought out in this film at all. I also don't really understand it. It seems like they have to possess a human body. But again, there's no actual explanation of that.
It seems
he
like
said that the only reason that he was possessing Dr. Jennings' body is because his true form would be too scary for everybody. But if he's bringing down a whole bunch of other people, what does it matter if he's too scary?
Exactly. I understand him being in human form to be able to access the laser.
Infiltrate, yes.
To infiltrate, to be a spy, that made sense. But now that he's bringing all these other Dark Overlords on there, they can be as scary as they want to be. So
yes.
It doesn't really matter. I like the fact, too, that after Howard supposedly does get Jennings, Jennings does die. I really thought the creature would tear out of Jennings.
Yeah,
very much
too.
Like the fly does in that movie. And I was expecting to see like him being dead. But nope, Jennings is fine.
Yep.
Nothing much happens to his body. The actual form of the Dark Overlord is awesome. That is some amazing stop motion special effects.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Do you know who did that?
No, who did it?
Phil Tippett.
That makes a lot of sense.
Phil Tippett, the guy who RoboCop and his most recent movie, Mad God. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mad God is amazing. 30 years in the making and worth the wait.
And you watch that stop motion, stop motion special effects. I should definitely be stopped smoking here, something here, because that was just... Those effects of the Dark Overlord was just some of the most epic and coolest thing I remember seeing. Even today, knowing the fact that today they would just use CGI.
Yeah.
I love that so much that they actually created this puppet from scratch and they animated it, and I thought it was absolutely just brilliant. I love the battle sequences. Even though it lasts a very short time, it was still cool to see.
Yeah, I completely agree.
He destroys.
I was just thinking about, so okay, this came out in 86.
Yeah.
So this, and I'm completely stuck on that it was Phil Tippett. This must have been right around when he had started making Mad God then.
Oh, very much so.
That's so cool. How did I not know that before? That's amazing.
So, yeah, so go with Phil Tippett right there. And I don't know, I know he did like other stuff right there. And I don't know why I'm blanking on. I know he did work for Star Wars.
Yeah.
And
which makes sense also, why he was working on this.
So, yes, just, yeah, George Lucas connection right there. Yeah. Starship Troopers and, so, you know, look, I'm looking at all the movies that Phil Tippett has done. Oh, he did
That's
work for
so cool.
Jurassic Park.
That's right.
And for Piranha. And oh shit, okay, yep, Star Wars. So yeah, very famous stop motion animator, which we don't get too many nowadays. I'm so grateful that Mad God got made.
Me
and
too.
And it's a hell of a fun movie. Go check that out on Shudder if you haven't seen that one yet. Very cool thing. The fact that he did all this shit by hand is just amazing. So when anyone tells me that Howard the Duck is like a bad movie or... I get angry because a lot of work went into this. A lot of work with Howard's animatronic face, the creature at the end. Yeah, just the sets and everything. Not much of sets. They shot this all on location. But you can tell very easily that the cast and the director are having just a lot of fun making this movie. And I buy into it because all the characters buy into it.
Yeah.
And as much as like silly and dumb and crazy it gets, the fact that I believe these characters when they say these words, all right? When Beverly says at the end, "You're the greatest ducky," all right? And she looks at him like they're going to kiss. Yes, that is great acting for me, because if I believe in you, believing in this duck is just an amazing sequence, all right? And then... after all the world is saved and everything is good and... yes. We get the end song. You ain't
got the class, boy. You stuck in my head all the time. So don't try to tell me that you got the things that I need. This guy's original. He's got the juice. Well, hey, look out, world. A duck is on the loose back here.
So, I find it amazing
so good.
That Cherry Bomb is this little garage rock band, all right? They have, like, these small shows happening in clubs. I don't know how big they are, but they seem to play only one spot.
Yep.
Now, after this event, they suddenly have a live arena show.
It's because Howard's their manager now.
He's one hell of a
such a great manager.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's like, you know, so when in my area, we have, when bands start off, they play at a place called Club Underground, which is the bottom basement of a restaurant that they have like Fridays and Saturday nights. That's where bands first come up. And then you maybe, if you become very good, you can play at First Ave. That's like the main room. But there's also, we have stadium shows too, like the Target Center and the Metrodome. I would say this is like this band moving from Club Underground to playing First Ave. There's also other bars in an area where people play. Palmer's is another popular spot here in Minnesota. And there's also Arcadia is another place. There's also one other bar that I'm blanking on the name of it right now. It's like Metrona. Forget it. I'm not going to remember the name of it right now. It's going to bother me because I know we're playing a show there soon. But yeah, they have this big stadium show with it's full of people, which I found to be absolutely like amazing. And they have all these effects too. There's like moving platforms and there's fireworks and all these things happening. And it's just for a song about their manager. I just find that to be very bizarre that this song is such a hit. It's like no one writes a song about their manager. All right.
The well, Rolling nobody Stones... has a duck for a manager.
Okay. All right. That. All right. Touche, Kaylee, touche on that. Yeah, that is true. But big show happens. Howard the Duck even gets to play a little guitar solo. They found a guitar that can fit the duck. All right,
so
they find
cute.
A guitar that can somehow fit the duck. I don't know how they had time to make this happen. I mean, I guess if they can make a guitar to fit Prince and he's a smaller dude, they can find a guitar for a duck. So. I get that. It's just very weird and bizarre. Yeah, Howard the Duck. We did describe the plot, even though I said I'm not going to describe the plot. We kind of did. I think this movie is a lot of fun. I think if you think this is a bad movie, you probably don't watch a lot of movies because I just find it to be fun. It's bizarre. It's strange. It doesn't make any sense. Don't go into this thinking about that so much there. I don't know. Like, do you tell your friends to watch this movie? Do you have like parties with your friends and you watch this?
Yeah, I think this is. I think that you said exactly the correct word for this. This is a fun movie. I wish that it was a little bit shorter. So for me,
yes.
If this movie was an hour and a half instead of what is it? Two and a half hours.
It's 1 hour and 51 minutes. So
yeah.
It's just
so I think that if it was about 20 minutes shorter, mm-hmm. that this would be a masterpiece for me. I think I would be having parties. I think I would be showing it to everybody. I think I would constantly be telling people. But I just think that there's so much that can get cut out. You know, again, we had that 20-minute airplane scene.
Yep.
We have some really long sequences. I don't really think that we need him working in the bathhouse. You know, there's a lot of things that just don't feel necessary. And I think that if those things had been gone and this had been a little bit more cohesive, that this would be an absolute masterpiece.
I agree with that too. Cut out that sequence of them on the airplane.
Yeah.
Get rid of that chase sequence. Cut down the moments of him at the set shop. Have that sequence in there because it's kind of funny.
It is funny, yeah.
The moments when they get arrested by the cops.
Yeah, that's...
Cut that down.
It's throwaway stuff, you know? We don't need any of that.
Like, when they first are getting, arrested by the cops, Jennings should be the one to, like, take them and be like, I got a way to get out of here. And then they're on the road, all right? Because we don't need to see the other sequence with the cops or anything like that. I think all the performances in this are fun. I like all the acting and the makeup effects.
Yeah.
Especially when Jennings changes slowly. And it's weird. When you see Jennings at the end of this movie, does he not remind you a little bit of John Carpenter?
He does. I never thought about that before.
Look at like John Carpenter now and, you know, Jennings. He just feels like he's like almost like a twin almost.
That's weird.
I know, right?
Oh man, my mind is blown. I don't even know what to say. That's totally right. Holy cow.
So
okay. Well, things to think about.
See? All right. I watch this movie at least once every year. I will tell a story because right now, if you can see this, I do have my DVD is autographed by Leah Thompson.
Yay!
I got to meet her at a film festival in Minnesota. She was here because her daughter made a movie. I'm blanking on the name of it right now, so I apologize about that. But they were in Twin Cities promoting that movie, and she was here at a luncheon. I knew she was going to be here, so I thought, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to bring my Howard the Duck DVD with me. And she spotted me because, yes, I was wearing a Back to the Future t-shirt. And she goes, hey, I remember that movie. I heard good things about it. And she's like, oh, hi, Leah. Just want to say, you know, big fan of yours. All right. Loved you in Some Kind of Wonderful. And I loved you, of course, in Back to the Future. And I told her my favorite movie growing up of yours, and it's a movie that got a lot of shit, was Howard the Duck. And I thought that was so great. You were my first big celebrity crush. And she was so nice. She said, I had so much fun making that movie. And she even was a guest star in the comic book.
Yeah.
She used her likeness in an issue of Howard the Duck comic book, which I thought would be very... You do have this. It! Oh, look at that! Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. We got the... All
there
that fun stuff.
Oh, that's badass, Kaylee. Yeah. But she was super nice, and we talked briefly. She was there with their Maddie and Zoe Deutsch promoting their movie that Zoe Deutsch wrote. She's a beater good mom. How about our daughter? So I got to meet Zoe Deutsch just very briefly, just at a meet and greet, just shake hands, say, how you doing? But very nice lady. She signed my copy of Howard the Duck, and you can't really read it on here, so I'll say it right now. To the Vern, with life, love, and a good duck, Leah Thompson.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
So that was very nice. So she didn't have to do that, and I'm very grateful that she did. So shout out to Leah Thompson. And I heard, and I think you mentioned this too on your show, that she might be interested in directing a reboot of Howard the Duck, and I would be totally down for that.
She loves this movie. She talks very frequently about how much she absolutely loves this movie, and that she had a lot of fun making it. So there's always hope for the future.
And I think that, you know, she would be good. And I think that in the Guardians of the Galaxy, isn't it Seth Rogen who's doing the voice of Howard?
Yeah, I think so. At the end scene, yeah.
And I know there is talk to have a Howard the Duck thing happening in 2025, maybe a series for MCU or Disney. I'm not quite sure, but either way, I would be totally down for this. So.
I agree. I think that Howard as a character is a really interesting character, so I would love to see what he does.
Sure. Hell yeah.
And again, more in Duck World. I want to see more of Duck World.
I want more in Duck World, that's for sure. This movie became a box office bomb, $37 million, made only $16 million. I know that George Lucas, after making this, has to sell out his animation studio, which he sold to Pixar. He sold it to Steve Jobs. That became Pixar. And so people can say Howard the Duck is a bad movie, and that's fine. But if it wasn't for Howard being made, we would not get all the wonderful movies made from Pixar. So it works out in the end right there. Yeah.
True serendipity. Thank you, Howard the Duck.
Thank you, Howard the Duck. And I bought the soundtrack on vinyl not too long ago. So excited because it was a promotional LP from Universal.
Yeah.
Very rare. It had like behind the scenes photos in it. It was a soundtrack on vinyl, which I really wanted. But it didn't play. It kept skipping.
Oh, no.
I was so disappointed. No. I had to take it back.
That stinks.
I was so excited, too, because I started hearing that to Hunter City. I'm like, yes, and it's on vinyl, and then just skipped too much. I had to take it back.
That's such a disappointment. And you've never found another copy of it?
I have not found another copy since then. It's been too expensive, and I'm disappointed. I want to find that. There's a company called Mondo Records. Shout out to Mondo. Mondo does like reprints of soundtracks, like soundtracks of movies that I've never even heard of before, but they take such care and have like this 180 grams and they put such detail and love into their movies. I have their Josie and the Pussycat soundtrack,
yeah,
which is cool. I want them to do a release of Howard the Duck soundtrack. All right. So
you're Mondo putting Records, a bug in the ear. I think that's smart.
I'm going to take Mondo Records and bite Mondo. Come on now. Let's get a Howard the Duck resurgence going on here. Let's bring the duck back in popularity here, folks. Yeah. All right.
You need, you know what would be good for you? You need a cover band that does Cherry Bomb stuff and Josie and the Pussycats stuff.
Oh.
That's like your ideal cover band, I feel
that,
like.
Yes. 100%, Kaylee. Do you want to front this band?
No.
Do you sing?
You don't want to hear me sing.
What?
I'll go to every concert with you, but I am not, I will not be in it.
Okay. That's fair enough. All right. Well, cool. I would love that. We'll rock out. That's for sure. I did have some comments from our listeners about Howard the Duck, and I am so grateful that I just remembered this at the last minute because I am a horrible podcast host. So I will read this real quickly. These are all taken from our Twitter account at @cinema_recall. So here we go. Smash Trivia John at Smash Trivia John says, I love this movie so much. Honestly, Howard the Duck is one of my favorite Marvel movies. It's so goofy and fun. Howard has an amazing voice. Him and Beverly have such good chemistry, which I think is mainly because Leah Thompson is such a good actress. Our Patreon member, Dinah Roberts at Unreal Ghoul says, she fucked that duck. Also, this one of those oddities I love growing up with. Looking forward to it. LOL. There is a podcast called Cherry Bombs Pod, and they say one of our all-time favorites and the namesake and origin story of our podcast.
Yay!
Bloody Binge at Bloody Binge says, amazing movie, watched it many times growing up. At SWO Productions says, I have heard it is some misjudged hidden gem, but I watched it for my podcast several episodes ago and found it to be pretty bad and almost entirely unfunny. The practical effects are good, but that is it. At Shoot the Flick says, we did a whole review on it. It is a bonkers movie that is very silly and then it gets weird, but that's Howard the Duck. Nick Wiseman at Game Over Man 86 says, love it. And then the amazing Maverick Supersonic Show at Whoa Joe Duke says, so bad it's awesome. At Jim_Towns says, underrated with a sense of humor. Underrated with a sense of humor, all its own fun, high stakes, and Leah Thompson is amazing in it, and he tagged Leah Thompson. Very cool. Collateral Cinema Podcast at CC Cinema Podcast says, I honestly don't remember much of it. I haven't seen it in years. Jalen Sala, who rates for Incession Films, says, after all these mad tidbits, I guess I gotta, and then she puts an image where she removes it from her watch list. Casterole Pod says, we can follow this one under films Jim hasn't seen, but knowing Jim, he absolutely loves it. Maggie Rathouse says, boring as fuck, or boring AF. Podcasta to Squid says, love it, it's rockin'. And Backlook Cinema says, this was super disappointing. We later saw what this movie was going for when Ted came out. So thank you everyone. Thank you everyone for reading your comments, I greatly appreciate that. All right, that's gonna kind of like finish up our review.
Yeah.
Of Howard the Duck. Do we miss anything that you want to say about Howard the Duck before we close out here?
Don't think so. I think you covered it all. I just want to say thank you so much for letting me come and talk about this movie. When I talked about it on my channel, I talked far more about the background, you know, the lawsuits, the comic book.
Yeah.
And so I really had never actually talked about the movie. And this was just such a wonderful opportunity to be able to do it with you. It was really an honor.
Well, thank you very much, Kaylee. I'm going to post links to your review and our show notes for people to like watch and comment on that, because Kaylee does go into the history of the comic book and all the legal battles that have happened with that character and the creation and whatnot. So definitely check that out. She's much more articulate, and let's face it, she's much better to look at than me here, okay? So please check out her podcast. It's very cool stuff. All her reviews and everything. So
thank you.
Very cool. Can you tell our listeners, if they don't know already, tell them about where you're at. Tell them about your podcast and your YouTube show and everything you have there.
Yeah. So you can find me on YouTube at Once Over with Kaylee, which is spelled C-A-Y-L-E-Y. And I do movie reviews similar to The Vern. We frequently, I think, like very similar movies, which is always exciting for me to find somebody else who loves the same stuff as me. So you can find me on YouTube there. I recently started a Patreon, which is also at Once Over with Kaylee. And there you can get access, early access to my reviews, as well as the uncensored versions of them. And I'm also doing very unsexy popsicle reviews on my Patreon. the least sexy popsicle reviews that you can possibly imagine. Whoa. And Wednesday nights, I can be found on Who Are These Podcasts, which is a podcast that talks about, it's kind of a roast style podcast that talks about other podcasts.
So we were on there not too long ago. Do they hate us?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, good. I know it's all fun. It's a joke and everything there too. But I'm like, do they really hate us that badly? Well, hopefully.
I would not have found out about you if they had not talked about you. And let me tell you, if I had not known those guys for a very long time, they would be talking about my show too. It is so roast style. It's so much fun. It's a little controversial, but it is definitely a blast. And I find some of the greatest podcasts by listening to it, including yours.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Well, then thank you to those guys, because I really thought that they just hated our show so much and it really upset them that I like Days of Confused and Grease 2. Okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, Who Are These Podcasts? Grease 2 is a fucking great movie. All right. I don't care what you say or not. It's a great movie. Michelle Pfeiffer is awesome in that movie. All right, I'll take Grease 2 over Grease 1 any day of the week. And Dazed and Confused is also a very fun movie. It's a masterpiece. Lots of happens in there. That's right. I said it. All right.
I think you and I might need to debate that one day, too.
Oh, that'd be great. I would love that. What, Dazed and Confused or Grease 2?
Both.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
I will agree with you, though, about Josie and the Pussycats. I do like Josie and the Pussycats.
See? All right. Excellent. That is epic. See, we can find common ground here. All right. I love the fact. I do know that later on, I want to be on your show to talk about society.
I literally have in my notes in big bold letters, don't forget to schedule society. So you and I are going to have to schedule that. And I would love to have you come on to my channel and talk all about it with me, because I need to talk about society and you are the person to do it with.
We got to talk about the Shunton. All right.
Yes.
All the Shunton.
Yep.
The best and worst party ever. Okay.
I cannot wait.
That's excellent. Well, thank you everyone for joining us here. Before we do go, I want to give a shout to all of our Patreon members. Again, patreon.com/cinemarecallpod. If you're watching this on Patreon, you're watching this early before anyone else. So congratulations for watching us early. It's very cool. Shout right now to all of our Patreon supporters. We're going to thank Jason Soto from Rabbit Hole Podcast. Ashley and I were recently on Whatever with Jason Soto and Rabbit Hole Podcast, so that should be happening soon. Very fun time. I want to thank Matt and Ashley from Ashley at the Movies. Thank you very much. I want to thank Donnie Roberts from Unreal Goals. He writes the Deep Sea Anthologies. Then we got to thank Jeanette Miller-Mickenham at AKA Jeanette. And then we also have to thank Jen McQuaid from Shocked and Applaud. Thank you very much.
I want to thank Linda Castro from Bedknobs and Broomflits. Thank you.
And lastly, Harvey Andrus rips of deep sea anthologies. Thank you very much. But yeah, that's it right now. Thank you everyone for listening, for subscribing. Even though I kind of go out of the place when I talk about movies, I thank you everyone for your support. I'm humbled and I'm honored that people actually do like and listen and watch the show. So thank you very much. That's it. That's right. You know what? I've done this whole podcast without making any duck puns. So I'm very
impressed. I can't believe that neither of us made a duck pun.
We had zero duck puns going on this because you don't need our duck puns when you can just go and watch the movie. I think this is still on Peacock, but I'm not 100% sure. Oh, it's on Tubi.
It's on Tubi. Yep.
It's on Tubi. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. And I hope you all have a great day.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.